Thanks for sharing that. It's an important reminder. It's easy to feel like to trust the Lord when everything's going smooth and nothing's shaking. But as soon as things are shaking, there's a test. And we need the Word of God and we need one another to help build our faith that God is faithful. It's Thanksgiving, and Darren shared about a little bit at the end there about giving thanks to the Lord for his provisions and being thankful for that. And what I want to touch on today is being thankful for the brothers and sisters in Christ, being thankful for one another. And there's a verse in, before I get there, the devil has a ministry. He's always working. And what he wants to do is divide. He wants to stir up relationship, break things apart, destroy, devour. And just think of his name, what the devil means. It means prone to slander or accusing falsely. And you know what he was doing? It says in Revelation 12, verse 10, that the accuser of our brethren who accused them, that's he's accusing us, before our God day and night, and he has been cast down. That's what he does. He's accusing day and night. And he's accusing us and accusing us. But thanks be to God, he's cast down through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and because we don't love our lives to the death. But that same ministry, he wants to put it in our spirit, this division. He wants to put these accusations towards one another. And so he's always working to try and sow a thought, sow something in our heart towards a brother or sister to divide, to destroy the church, to break it apart. There's a verse that says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And so we can stand on the firm foundation that his church, the true church of God will not be destroyed. But we have to be aware of his schemes. And in 2 Corinthians, this is kind of my anchor verse here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Now he's referring to here that person in the church who was, I believe, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when they had to put this guy out because he was in sin. But then it sounds like he repented here. But he did much harm. And so people were struggling, whether it was with him or with a different situation. It says here that in verse 10, now whom you forgive, 2 Corinthians 2 verse 10, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So, forgiveness is key. And we know that if we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. Jesus talks about that. And so when there's a tension, when there's maybe someone offended us, someone in the church, what are we going to do with that? Maybe they didn't show care for you when you were sick or in a difficult situation. They just kind of did their own thing, didn't touch base. Maybe there's something that you're bothered with from another brother or sister. What do you do with those things? The devil wants to take that and make it a huge mountain, cause you to get bitter and bring strife. And what is he going to do? If you don't forgive, he takes advantage. So we can't be unaware of his devices. He's always working to do this. Think of in the last month, don't raise your hands. But has anyone had a thought towards a brother or sister that wanted to bring division, strife, or maybe frustration towards someone? I'm sure it's happened in the past month for every one of us. But we can't be unaware. We have to know that that's what he's doing. He's always at work. He doesn't sleep. And he wants to divide. So don't let Satan take advantage of us. There's a verse in Ephesians 4. Between 26 and 32, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Or one version says, do not give the devil a foothold. So when we have anger that arises and we don't repent of that, we don't deal with that, and we should be doing that immediately. Don't even let a day go by with that in our hearts. It says we give place to the devil. So as soon as we let that anger sit towards somebody, the devil, we allow the devil to take a seat here in our lives, to bring destruction, to cause us to become bitter. And that bitterness is like poison, and it's a bitter root. It says that many become defiled through a bitter root. It's not just going to defile me, because what am I going to do with that? I'm going to start to spew it out to everyone else and start to partake in the ministry of the devil, which is to bring slander and accusation. And you know what? It can be very subtle. You know, it might not be very obvious to us, but it might be a little comment, because he's always starts, if it was so obvious, he wouldn't succeed, but he starts very subtly. And so it starts with a small seed, right? And then it can grow if we don't deal with it quickly. Division is very important to deal with that. I mean, Paul pleaded with the 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11, he says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are many contentions among you. So Paul was dealing firmly with them. He was pleading with them to have one mind and one heart and not allow. And what they were doing, what was the division? Well, they were saying, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. You know, so someone was liking what Paul was saying. Someone was liking what Apollos was saying. And so they were saying, I'm of this person or I'm of that person. Rather than, you know, that can happen in our midst. I like what, when this person shares, I don't like what he shares, and you kind of have something in your heart against someone, or you know, I see eye to eye in certain matters with this person, I don't see eye to eye with that person, so I'm kind of in this camp here, and there can be kind of pockets of, you know, different groups of ideology right in our own midst. But God is greater than these things. You know, we can find some fellowship, common ground on many different ideas that aren't spiritual ideas. I think Andrew shared on something about this in the past couple weeks. But our foundation and our fellowship must be in Christ. That's where the fellowship has to be, in Christ. So how do we break that division? How do we make sure that that doesn't get a root in our heart? We have to be aware of the enemy's schemes. Don't be unaware of it. Forgiveness. Forgive. Don't hold a grudge. Bring it before the Lord. If you can't, if you're having trouble, think of the verse about that, you know, that mountain. You know, when Jesus saw that fig tree and he cursed it, and he said, you know, have faith. Brothers, have faith. If you see this fig tree or this mountain that seems too big for you, just cast it to the sea in Jesus' name. Just cast it to the sea. And then for next verse, I think it's in Mark, it says, you know, if you have anything, if you go and pray, or if you have anything against somebody, pray, forgive them. So he ties forgiveness in with this parable of the fig tree. Just pull it up by the roots. Another thing that I see in Paul's life, I'm very encouraged by studying Paul. And in the theme of this weekend of being thankful, right? Reminded at this time, something that needs to be evident in our lives day by day. But be thankful for one another. I'll read a couple verses quickly. It says, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, says, Timothy, I thank God for you. We can see in multiple chapters and multiple letters that he does to the churches that he's thankful for them. He's like, Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we departed. and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. It's like, man, Paul loved Timothy. There was such a love there. When you're thanking God for someone and you can find some good in someone, it's going to be, the devil's not going to be able to get a foothold in that relationship. He's not going to be able to do it. He says he's always thanking God. He's constantly remembering him in his prayers. And that was a conviction for me, to remember others in my prayer, to be thankful for others, to be thankful for my brothers and sisters. And when I do that, the devil's schemes are going to be destroyed. He's not going to be able to get a foothold in my life and bring division. So I encourage you also to practice that in your prayers daily. Think of some people that you can give thanks for. You know, in Philippians, he says, 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's thankful for the Philippians. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because why? Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So he's naming things he could be thankful for. I'm thankful for your faith. I'm thankful for the love that I see in your life, in your lives. In Romans 1:8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. When he sees faith in someone, he's just causes him to abound in thanksgiving. And he verbalized it. Now, I was thinking in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I was like, well, what's he going to thank God for the Corinthians? Because there was a lot of division. He had to rebuke them about division. And he couldn't really say at that point he was thankful for their faith or their love for one another, because it wasn't being shown. But he found something to be thankful for. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. It might be hard to find something to give thanks for when you think of maybe as someone that's maybe hurt you or you don't see a lot of love there. But you know that they're genuinely, you know, serving the Lord and they want to change. Just thank God for the grace that's been given them. Find something to give thanks for that person. Now, I want to turn back to where I started in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and read a couple examples of how Paul just really loved fellowship. He didn't want to be a loner. He didn't want to be working by himself. You know, it says, you know, go two by two. He wanted to be with a brother. He didn't want to be by himself. And brothers brought encouragement to his soul. He was thankful for them. And I want that same, you know, love in my heart for others. You can see in verse 12 and 13, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. There was a door opened for Paul to preach the gospel there. And he said it was opened by the Lord. But he didn't stay because there was no rest in his spirit. He wasn't anxious, but he needed to find Titus. He wanted fellowship. I want to flip ahead to 2 Corinthians 7. Let's start in verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. I like how Paul says, I don't say this to condemn. Paul didn't want to bring condemnation. He didn't want to condemn. He wanted to build up, even though he was speaking strongly. It wasn't a condemning message. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, But we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation of which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. So, you know how in 1 Corinthians he's like, I can't stay in the city. I want Titus. I need Titus. I want fellowship with a brother. And then here, he was with some people, and they came to Macedonia, and it says their bodies had no rest. It said they were troubled on every side, and outside there were conflicts, and inside were fears. He's being very open here. He's being open that, you know, Paul went through so much, and we read through his letters and later on. I mean, he was scourged and whipped and shipwrecked and all these things. He had, you just read Acts 14, you see he went from city to city and the mob followed him and stoned him to the point that they thought he was dead. And he probably carried those scars. You know, if someone's stoning you and throwing rocks in your head and on your face, that's what they did. They threw him and knocked him out, and I'm sure he had scars from that. He had scars from being whipped many times, 39 times. Or he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, he said. He bore the rock marks. He bore the whip marks. So he wasn't immune to having a test of being fearful. It says there was conflicts. There was fear on the inside. I want to read this verse in another version. It says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. His presence was a joy. It's like, you want to be a Titus? You want to encourage a Paul? And Paul was the one encouraging others, but here was Titus just coming and bringing a joyful presence, bringing good news from a church saying the Corinthians had, you know, repented at his letter and that they really longed to see him. He's being open about his temptation to be fearful. What happens when we're tempted to be fearful? He was tempted to be downcast. And one version says, I was discouraged or I was depressed. Or not, I was depressed, sorry. It says, the God who comforts the depressed. He didn't say, I was depressed. But there's a temptation to be discouraged. There's a temptation to be depressed or anxious. What can we learn here? That God's comfort. He said, God comforted me. How did he comfort Paul? Through the coming of a brother or sister, right? Through the coming of Titus. God uses one another to bring comfort to us in distressing times. And so don't cease from fellowship. Seek fellowship. We need one another. Paul's encouragement came through fellowship of a like-minded brother, and we can learn here that the way to overcome discouragement is to seek fellowship with other believers. There's a great value in the body of Christ. There is a manifestation of his presence, power, where two or three are gathered. This is the solution to depression. My brother says this, okay? Brother Zach said this. The solution to depression is to seek fellowship with a body of believers. We see an example here. The solution to discouragement is to seek out fellowship. I'm encouraged by that. To close up, we'll finish in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Kind of ties things together here. Verse 9, he's talking to Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly. This is at the end of Paul's life. He says, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I have kept the faith. This was the very end of Paul's life. And he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, verse 6. But he says, be diligent, come to me quickly. He needed to, whether it's to share things with them, he needed the fellowship. Come. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed for Thessalonica. Demas was once part of his fellowship, part of his ministry, his ministers. Demas had left. There's hurts in ministry. There's hurts in our lives when we see someone that's been faithful and all of a sudden they depart. And it says he loved the world and they left. That's very hurtful. It's sad when you see that, when there's been such good fellowship together and then all of a sudden they're gone. Demas left. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Maybe they had ministry there, right? Crescens and Titus. Only Luke is with me, but get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Remember Barnabas and Paul had a sharp dispute about John Mark? They even separated, and Paul took Silas, and Barnabas took Mark. But the division didn't last. I mean, it wasn't... Paul and Barnabas, they had this sharp dispute about this. But Paul brings up Barnabas in a later letter about how, when he says, are me and Barnabas the only ones that can't take a wife? You know, he's talking to them as, you know, they're equal apostles, as apostles. So it wasn't division that was, you know, long-lasting. And even with Mark, whatever was the circumstance, you know, Mark had left when he should have been with Paul, that he left for Jerusalem. You read that in Acts 13. And so he wasn't happy about that. But here now, there's restoration. And that's the important thing, that there's restoration. You know, Mark had obviously become useful. He maybe had repented of what had happened there. And now he was useful for ministry. And it says, and Tychicus, I have sent to you to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. It's interesting, just an aside here, he's in his last hours, so to speak. He's at the end of his life, and it's like, bring my coat. Bring my coat and bring those books. I want to study. You know, I want to continue to study whatever those books are about, or study in the Word of God, and bring the parchments. We don't know what was on it. It could have been scriptures. It could have been some of his letters that he'd been writing. He wanted to be, in his last hours, he wanted to be still feeding his spirit. And then it says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him. He has greatly resisted our words at my first defense. Okay, I want to hone in on this verse here. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. He was at a defense. I mean, he was in prison. It was not long that he was executed here after this. But no one, where were the brothers and sisters? Where were the Christians? They got fearful and they fled. He's at his defense and no one was there. Nobody showed up. Could that be a reason for Paul to have a little bitterness in his heart? It could be. Did he let it? He did not. He says, may it not be charged against them. And that is such a message for us. If someone hurts us, if someone doesn't show up for us in a needy time in our life, we can say, Lord, may it not be charged against that person. If a friend lets you down, may it not be charged against them. That way the devil will not be able to get a foothold in our church, in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children. May it not be charged against them, because there's going to be, I can guarantee you, there's going to be a hurt that's going to come. You're going to feel let down. I can guarantee you that in a relationship, in some way. Have that heart. Just as Jesus, or as even Stephen said when he was stoned by wicked men, you know, don't charge a sin against them. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, and they know not what they're doing. We can have that heart too through the power of the Holy Spirit. May it not be charged against them. I'm going to finish up here in verse 17. And on the Lord stood, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, there's a really important truth here. The Lord delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. But he was martyred not long from there. Not far from when he wrote these words. What does this mean? Paul was protected until God's time had come for him to meet his maker. God was protected, or Paul was protected. God protected him. He had been through so much, but there was a day when his days were ordained. And the Lord knows the days of a man and a woman and what our days are and how long we will live on this earth. And when we follow Jesus Christ and want to do his will, not one day will be taken from us apart from the Father's will. We will fulfill every day of our lives that we are meant to fulfill if we are in Christ. Can I shorten my life apart from the Father's will? Oh, yes, I can. I can go serve the devil. I can get involved in drugs. I can get involved in alcohol, in different addictions. I can serve myself. And for sure, I will shorten my days. It won't be God's will if I, you know, if I died of a drug overdose and shortened my life. That wasn't the will of God. I can get outside of that will. But when I'm a child of God and following him and want to do his will, do what's right, my days are ordained. And I love a brother saying this. I wasn't so encouraged by that. By this. A brother said, we are immortal until our life's work is done if we wholeheartedly seek to do the will of God. Doesn't that bring comfort to you? The Lord will keep me safe from every assault of evil, every evil plot, every attempt to do me harm, and every malicious attack. He's going to keep me safe. I'm going to be immortal until my work is done if I'm a wholehearted disciple of Jesus Christ. So we read in verse 19, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Do you see how he's now like, he's with these brothers and sisters, and they all greet you. Where were these brothers and sisters at his defense? Nobody showed up. He didn't charge it against them. You know, where was Luke? We don't know where these people were. But they had some fear. They fled. Just like when Jesus was in the garden, they all fled. Well, they all fled too. But he didn't charge it against them. And here that he was still loving his brothers and sisters. Let's not charge it against anybody when someone offends us, does harm to us. Let's be like Christ. Release it. And be aware that the devil, we're not going to give the devil a foothold in our lives. Amen.